show the picture of everybody flooding to the note business?
Yeah, let me pull that up real quick. Hold on a second.
So, Mangan, this is a picture. These are people. These aren't blue bonnets. These are people racing to the next note class. What do you think about that?
What, when is somewhere in here? Y'all were having a class or somewhere?
Yeah. Boy, the Kansas City Royal fans are going to correct me on that one, aren't they? No, I've actually seen that picture before. That is a picture of the celebration of the Kansas City Royals win the World Series. That's a unified effort, I would say. Pretty impressive. But I may use that again, Matt, to talk about people racing to the note space, and I'm glad they're in our guys that are already in it.
I like it.
Yeah. Okay. What's up on the list, Matt?
All right. So, first off, we have, I think it was Kevin Mullen. Let me double check here. Yeah. Has a few assets. Well, he, of course, hasn't made it on. So, he had a couple of assets he was wanting to look at for doing partials, but since he hasn't made it on yet, you want to go on down to, let's go on down to the next question. That's Dave Fernecki. And as soon as this one over, he should be on by then. So.
Okay, perfect.
David, you're unmuted.
Hi, Eddie. How are you?
What's up, buddy?
It's getting warm here, dude. You're gonna have a good weekend.
I'm glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. I will be in there Saturday morning.
Good. So I have this asset, or this note that I'm looking at in Panhandle, Texas. It's a mobile with a bunch of stuff built around it on 12 acres. There's a large barn. The home was, the note seller bought the place in 2010 for 90. He did a quick sale a year and a half ago because it was moving for 80. The interest rate's 120 months. It'll have 6 months of seasoning in February. The payer's been prepaying by 150 a month on his 850 monthly payment. I had offered him 51 for the note. With the initially I was going to offer him 55, but when I looked at the cost of dirt, I did talk to the realtor. He said the value's all in the dirt. It's not, certainly not in a single wide with the junk built around it. So I lowered it from 55 to 51, which is what I presented to him. He countered back, and he said he wants 55. I played my cards, but I thought, well, I'll just double-check and see what your thoughts are, because I remember what you said when it's dirt. You knock the price down, depreciate it.
All right, so there's an aerial view, and you can't really tell much about what's up there, but it's a single wide, and you say a bunch of junk around it. Like,
well, yeah, he's built some stuff around it. It's all in cinder block. It's about 4,000 feet of square feet of living space.
Okay.
Plus the 12-stall barn. I spoke to his agent there, and he said the parcels over 6 acres are a premium. And he felt just the dirt alone was worth pretty close to the 80.
Okay.
So I'm looking for your input.
Well, I mean, if you plug these in your calculator, what kind of yield, if you buy it at 55, what kind of yield do you have on it?
14.
Well, that's about where best case scenario somebody would buy it from you at, 12 to 14. So you ain't got no, you know, you can be a great negotiator when you ain't got no room. You're not wanting to do this for free, are you?
No, that's why I offered him 51.
Okay, well then there you go.
Okay, so I'm okay. I thought I was on solid ground, but I wasn't. I just want to double check.
What? So this guy, that sold it is in South Carolina. He looks like he buys portfolios of distressed assets.
He's not in the real estate business per se. I would say no. He was living there.
Oh, this was his home.
Yeah, he was living there, yes.
So when you offered him 51, he wants 55. So that's basically like if you'd offered him 55, would he have accepted that?
Well, if you believe his email, that would be yes, but I don't know that.
You know that. You know exactly what the deal is. He don't have a freaking clue what it's worth.
No, he just wants X number of dollars. He doesn't want to take that much of his
account. He wants to negotiate.
Agreed.
You offered him 51. He says, well, how about 55? If you'd have offered him 45, he'd have said, how about 50?
Okay.
If you'd have offered him 55, he'd have said, how about 60?
And again, he's got junk there to live in. There's not much there, so it's...
Well, it's not junk to him. He lived there.
Well, I know that, but from another
perspective. These are treasures. These are future things that are going to go in museums.
Yeah, every day. Okay. So my thoughts were right initially, so I'm good. That's what I was looking for, just confirmation.
You're not good.
No?
You ain't got him to say yes.
Well, I know that, but I'm good with what my thoughts
were. Okay, well, how you going to get there?
I don't know. Tell me.
You said you're good.
Okay. No, I'll just tell him that the value is not there. It's just... Go ahead.
Look, you can't negotiate with people that own notes and get the highest close rate if you mash them up against the corner. What you're giving him when you say that is, I got the gold, I make the rules. Okay?
Okay.
And that's not going to resonate with him. Well, let me just say this. If you get in this position 1,000 times, you're trying to get to the closing as many times as you can, right? It's not going to resonate with more people than not. What
in the offering letter?
When you give him the offer, have you gotten to the point yet where it's like, what's the guy's name?
Clint.
Clint, are you like Clint? When you sell this note, what in the world are you gonna do with all that money?
To pay off some debt and do some other investing. He's already told me that.
Okay. When did he tell you that?
And in my offer letter, I also told him that basically he's getting his price now.
Hold on.
Okay.
You're skipping some important stuff here. When did he tell you that?
On the front of the call. I talked to him two or three times.
Okay. When you very first talked to him, that's what he said.
Yes, and then he reconfirmed it when I presented the offer to him on the phone.
Dave?
Yes?
People always lie up front about what they want the money for.
Okay.
That's why I don't ask them what they want to do with the money.
Well, he just volunteered it.
Okay. Well, when he says pay some debts, he may mean, you know, keep his car or house out of foreclosure, but all right, so let me ask you a question, Dave. If I were trying to buy this note from you and I offered you $51,025, that sounds like too much of a round number, by the way. If I offered you $51,225 and you countered and wanted $55, what should I be saying back to you?
Well, I've talked to your agent. And he told me where values are. At this point, the note's got about, you know, 5-6 months worth of seasoning. There's some acreage there, and as we've discussed, the values in the land. basically it's a function of – go ahead.
That ain't going to make any sense to him. That's not going to make any sense to him. I mean, you're telling him that his agent says the land's only worth 80 grand and they put no value in the improvements. And he used to live there. And you, why is it you're offering him 51 when it's worth 80?
As on dirt, on land.
He doesn't understand all that stuff.
Okay.
He's not sophisticated. You're speaking at 20,000 feet over his head. The guy can't understand that. Wait a minute. You're only willing to give me 51 for if it's worth 80, putting no value in my other stuff? Sir, really? You see what I'm saying? You got it. Your negotiations have got to get to the heart, the emotion of what affects him. It's like me going to CarMax and me going, well, I look on Truck Trader and they say my truck's worth 20 grand, but CarMax says, well, I want to pay you 11. I'm like, well, I'd really like to have 12.50. And they're like, nope, 11's all we can offer against a car. You see what I'm saying? It's just like that doesn't even connect.
What would you recommend that I say? Or how would you
You got to get to the emotion in the deal.
Okay.
And you got to create value in his mind. You're trying to price this deal and get into a deep drill down conversation about investment to value and unique property. That guy's not going to be sophisticated to understand that. No possible way. Charles Mangan, your wife has been married to you for 30 years, right?
Correct.
Could you explain that to her tonight?
No. Could I explain to Roxanne? No.
I mean, she's a smart person, but she's not a real estate person, right? She's not done what
exactly.
You've done all day, every day. There ain't no way on God's green earth you could explain that to your wife and it makes sense to her.
Not even part of it, Eddie. And I've owned some dirt deals, and we've owned them.
Now, you're not wrong, Dave. I'm just saying to you, that ain't going to close this guy.
What do you think? What would you recommend?
You're totally correct.
Okay.
All right, so what's the loan balance?
66. I'm sorry, the loan balance is 66.
All right, so take 66,000 and subtract 51,025. How much money is that?
15,000.
And divide it by 115 months.
130.
So you're discounting this note $130 a month.
Right.
Take the 130 and divide it by the 849 payment. What percentage of the payment are you discounting it?
15%. 15.3.
That is how it closed the guy. You see the difference?
Walk me through it, please.
Okay, so here's the deal, Dave. You got this note, and I've talked to my underwriter, and $51,000 is really just all that it's worth. And I appreciate you would like to have more money, and I totally get that. And I went back and fussed with the underwriter pretty good, and that's just kind of where we're at. Okay, But let me tell you what the underwriter did point out to me. We're paying 51. The loan balance is 66,750. We're discounting this note. We're discounting about around $16,000. Okay. If I divide that discount over the remaining term of the note, it's being discounted about $130 a month, and $130 a month is about 15% of your $849 payment. So when you're discounting that payment about $15 a month, that's a very modest discount for this type of a note, because this is the kind of property, as you probably well know, Clint, this is the kind of property that banks won't finance, and a lot of times the buyers that live there can't get financed.
Okay.
Now, if you are suffering from the price shock of you're owed 66 and you just got to have more than 51, then the only alternative that makes sense for both of us is, let me just buy one of these partials. The reason you're doing that, Dave, is the partial keeps them talking to you. He's going to sell the whole note, but the partial keeps them talking to you.
Okay. Okay.
So what I did is I took the discount and divided it over the life of the loan, and I got to the monthly discount, and I divide the monthly discount by the monthly payment.
Got it. So this guy suggests that he's an Excel spreadsheet guy, that he understands numbers.
Okay, good.
Back to the equation.
Okay. So he's decided that he can live with your buying it at a 13 yield, but not a 14 yield. Is that what he's saying?
That's basically it, yes.
He's the smartest son of a bitch I ever met. I mean, how do you figure that? I'll accept a 13 yield, but I won't accept a 14 yield.
Just pride.
You see what I'm saying? It's
yep.
Like, come on.
Okay. So just get him to interact, go over these points, and then he'll talk himself into it.
Dave, let me make sure you understand. This is the most important thing I could ever say to you about negotiating. Keep them talking to you.
Okay.
Just keep them talking to you. I'm getting you, and I don't want other students that don't have the relationship Dave and I have to get run off by this. I'm getting you a little more scared of me than you are of him. Okay. Because what I can't let him do is psych you out. In other words, what I'm saying to you is, this guy's saying, well, I could run Excel spreadsheets and I can run yields, and I'm willing to accept a 13 yield, but a 14 yield on your investment is too much. You see what I'm saying? That's a crock. Who could come up with those numbers? He's just trying to get you to up the price.
Okay.
So what you need to do is say, here's the price. I talk to the underwriter. Here's where we're at. And he goes, well, I run the yield of my calculator. And you say, you know, I appreciate that, but it's a private loan. You know, investors, underwriters, we can make a 15% loan to a real estate investor all day long to loan them money against property at a less exposure rate than this. So the return on the investment for private money is not like FHA Fannie Mae loans. This isn't a bankable deal.
Yeah.
Private lending, hard money lending as it's referred to it, you know, the return rate is, you know, 13.5% to 18%. And so, you know, by the time we pay the servicing fee pay and the expenses and that stuff, and it's just like, this is where we're at. So it's a make sense deal. And let me just go through some math with you that I think is important. You're discounting your payment based on the discount that I calculated per month. You're discounting the note about 15% a month. If the discount is just unacceptable to you, then I would say let's go the other direction and talk about us, you know, you're selling like 5 years of the note. Okay. Let me ask you a question, Clint. If you could have your ultimate Christmas wish list, you could get minimum discount or maximum dollars, meaning that you could sell a partial and limit your discount, or you could sell the whole loan and get the most money, and we could come to numbers that were acceptable to you, which one would you pick? Minimum discount, maximum dollars up front.
That's something he's got to tell me. I don't know. You know, from what he was, other than what he was saying, was he wants to max out his dollars.
Do you see what I'm saying, Dave? I'm getting to the emotion in the deal. I'm showing you how to do it.
Okay.
This is the conversation I'd be having with the guy. Okay. You're just saying, I called your realtor. How the dirt's worth about 80, and the property's worthless otherwise, and I'm going to fund you 51, but I can't pay you 55. I'm just saying to you, it's like I just can't. I don't think anybody could grasp that. That's not going to be logical to them. If you got a guy that's willing to emotionally walk away from a deal because he's scared you're going to get the best of him a little bit, he's going to walk away based on that answer. He can justify that in his mind.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
It does.
Bottom line is, you don't buy this kind of note at a $10,000 haircut. If you're doing direct mail and negotiating all that kind of stuff. Now, some of these students that are just sitting back there buying loans that we've already bought and put on the shelf and spent $1 zillion chasing, yeah, we're going to resell it for that. But you're doing the work, dude.
I'm putting a lot of time.
You're not at the grocery store. You're growing the garden, baby.
No, I'm down the ditches right now. Yeah. Okay.
So you can't afford to go start giving this thing away.
Okay.
It's just not worth more than that.
Right.
But your customer doesn't understand that.
The only thing he understood is that the 51, I'm making 15 grand. He just thought that was too much money. And that was the bottom line.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question, Clint. When am I earning the 15 grand?
Well, you're getting it right away as soon as you buy it from me.
Absolutely not. I'm earning that 15 grand over the life of the investment. I'm earning that 15 grand at $130 a month. So for the next 12 months, for me to buy this note, I'm going to earn that discount. It's going to earn me about $1,500.
Yep.
So what I'm doing, see, let me show you what happened here, okay? You were trying to confirm was your pricing logical, and then you're saying, okay, I'm good. And then you were leaving the door open for me to realize that the way you were positioning the offer, the guy's likely not going to say yes, or not as likely as he is if we talk about it, right?
Correct.
So you didn't think you had a negotiation issue. You thought you just had a price issue.
That's true.
Price had nothing to do with this. Your issue was you got to get this guy to the yes. And the last thing you told me was the most important thing. You don't realize that, but the last thing you just said was the most important thing. He's worried about the $15,000 discount.
Right.
Okay, well, let's just do the math. When am I going to earn the $15,000 discount? Over the life of the investment. How much am I going to make in the next 12 months? Oh, I don't know, about $1,500. Does that sound unreasonable to you that I'm going to make $1,500 discount in 12 months and $1,500 the next 12 months? Does that seem unreasonable?
Yep.
Okay. Now, you wouldn't say it to him quite that way, right? You would adjust your tone to the situation. Once again, I'm trying to get you to where you believe in what you're doing.
Right. You know where part of this comes from with the REO stuff as the agent? It was a slam-bam type thing, take it or leave it, and I've got to relearn that and get that out of my thought process.
Well, look, we, as you well know, we have many, 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 many REO agents in Note School.
Agreed. I know.
The REO world you lived in had nothing to do with skillful negotiations.
Oh, that's true. But I didn't have to worry about it then. Now I've got to go back to it.
So, once again, you get back to a customer that you're trying to define discount with or trying to find the relationship with. You got to find some connectivity that they can connect with or some, you know, communication they can connect with. So, anyway, I know we went too far on this, but
That's good.
Does that make sense?
It does, totally. Thank you.
Yeah. Just so everybody knows this, I mean, like Dave and I have had conversations, and he's like, Eddie, I really want to make this direct mail piece work. And, you know, I really, really, really want you to help me analyze this. So, I saw several of his comments. It ain't about time value of money. It ain't about risk. In this guy's mind, you're not going to make that logical. Time value of money and all that stuff is just, you know, if it were a 30-year loan, I could reposition it a little bit, but a 10-year fully payback loan, and the guy's telling me that he can run a calculator, and he probably can run it. I mean, it's like, You got to go appeal to something that's right down to the dirt of it, which is how much discount am I going to earn per year if I buy this note?
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
You know, Keith, you're right. He can make two offers. You know, he could offer 25 now and 25 later, but he's already thrown out a $35,000 partial offer on 5 years. So, you know, all these questions and stuff are great. So, he's following a blueprint that we've done a lot, and, you know, anyway, you've all asked good questions. Tim asked a good question, Dave, and he said, you know, would you ask the guy where he came up with $55,000? But I think you already told me that he made it up, and he decided that, you know, somehow $10,000 discount or $12,000 discount was okay, but $15,000 wasn't, or whatever the math is, kind of something like that. He's just trying to get you to raise the price. It is not. I mean, you know, if you'd have offered him $54,000, he'd have wanted $58,000. What I would say from my experience in training a lot of people to be very good on the phone buying notes, if you don't believe in your offer, he won't believe in your offer. So I'm trying to get you, Dave, tonight to believe in your offer.
Okay. I get the offer, and I don't want to pay anymore. I can't afford to. I got to make money, and I'm not going to do it any other way.
Okay. Got it. All right. Very
Thank
good.
You. Thank you.
You're awesome. All right, Mr. Matt, what's up?
All right. So next off, we'll go to Keith Warrington's question. So Keith, you are not Keith Warrington. Sorry about that. Mahmood. I don't know how I got them two mixed up. All right. Go ahead.
Eddie. Mahmood, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing great.
I have All right, so
it sounds like you got a good Charles question tonight.
Okay. I have a
loan
that is in BK. I want to sell the note, but I want to keep the arrearage account.
Okay.
How do we administer? How do we administer it?
I mean, it can be done. Now, you want to sell the loan, but you want to hold the arrearage account yourself, correct, Mahmood?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't want to sell the arrearage. You just want to sell the BK, the actual BK asset.
Correct. The post-petition payments.
I'm thinking. Charles, the arrearage money is probably not as you know, it's secured, but if it like goes in default, it's not like you can force can make an enforcement on arrearage. So it's kind of worthless to the investor, but it's not worthless to Mahmood. Mahmood is where is the payments coming from? Both the P&I payment and the arrearage?
From the trustee.
Both of them are coming from the trustee.
Well, isn't that how they come?
Sometimes they come from the trustee and the borrower, Mahmood. So the trustee may make an arrearage count, may make the pay towards the arrearages, and the borrower will resume regular payments on the loan.
And I don't know what percentage that is, Charles, but it's probably 50-50 or something like that. Is that how it's done?
Yeah, and it may be more so the trustee, Eddie, but I do have a bankruptcy accounts where the borrower and trustee both make payments. You know, a lot of times when people buy accounts that are in bankruptcy, you know, if you don't ask for that arrearage account, you may not necessarily get that arrearage account.
Exactly. My mood knows that.
Yeah, but, you know, so you don't – I mean, you can sell the account, you don't have – and hold the arrearage account, but you've got to let the trustee know. You're going to have to put them on notice that you're selling off that note, Mahmood, but you're holding their arrearage account.
All right. Well, one thing I would say to you is, Mahmood, if the loan is being serviced, and Charles, correct me if I'm wrong, the regular principal and interest account and the arrearage account are probably have two different account numbers. Is that a true statement?
Not always, Eddie. If it's not set up that way with the servicer, because typically what happens, servicers have it set up as one account, and the account files bankruptcy, and when they come back with their arrearage plan or the confirmation of the arrearage plan, they don't always necessarily set up a separate account. Now then, Mahmood, if you sold that account, you would have to let that servicer know they're going to have to split up their arrearage account and set up a separate account.
Right, but the trustee probably has two different account numbers. Is that true or not?
No, not necessarily, Eddie. Because if the servicer just has one account number, they'll send a net sheet with that payment showing what's the actual payment and what's actually a arrearage payment. It's broken out in two different checks or two different payments, but you know, it goes to the same account. And the servicer posts those as post-petition and pre-petition payments. And so you know what's arrearage, what the servicer knows what's an arrearage, goes towards the arrearage, and what doesn't. So basically they upload the plan, and the servicer tracks it under one account. So if they have $3,000 in arrearage, that arrearage payment, they just manually put it in the system, but it's not set up separately. But if you sold the account, there's no reason the servicer couldn't set it up separately, Eddie.
All right, so
they would have to.
So here's what I think he's saying, Mahmood. If you're not moving the servicing, it's an issue between you and your servicer, not really between your servicer and the bankruptcy trustee.
Well, let me tell you this, Eddie. We are almost closing on this deal, so again, this is the opportunity to set up the servicing the way we want.
Okay. Well, I will tell you this, and Charles, you have more experience in bankruptcy than I do, but I used to see Condor do this all the time. Condor would sell a loan, and the guy buying the note from them would not know to insist on getting the arrearage payments. And Condor Correct. Was smart enough just not to say anything.
Right.
And then they would have the trustee mailing the arrearage payments to Condor and the new P&I payment to some other service. That's why I said there were two separate accounts.
Well, there would be. My move would just have to set that up that way and just sell the account, the bankruptcy, and just, I mean, they're buying basically the note. It's what Mamu would be selling. And unless they request that arrearage account, you don't have to sell that. I mean, and you don't have to anyways. You can say, I'm going to hold the arrearage if they request it. And a perfect example of that is, you know, Martha and I were working on a bankruptcy here several months ago that Martha bought. And the company that was selling it was not going to sell their arrearage account. And Martha came back and she said, I want that arrearage account. Now, had Martha not said that, they wouldn't have sold that arrearage account. Martha was just going to buy the bankrupt notes.
Because most people wouldn't ask for it.
Exactly. So they weren't going to sell it. And so when I asked about their arrearage account, she said, well, we're not going to sell it. I said, well, Martha wants the arrearage account. I said, she knows there's an arrearage, there's a plan. So most people don't know that, and they buy a note, and if they never ask for that arrearage account, the seller just notifies the trustee that he sold the note, he's collecting the arrearages, and the payments go to this new purchaser.
All right, so here's what I would do, Mahmoud. Make sure your servicer can split the payment and keep the arrearage account money separate from the principal and interest money. Your servicer probably is going to need to set up two different account numbers.
Who would be the owners would have to be different on those.
I didn't mean that.
Have you bought the note, Mahmoud?
I'm sorry?
You currently own the note, correct?
Not yet.
Okay.
We're close to closing on it.
Well, okay. So you're closing on the note, and you know, and you've requested the arrearage account as well, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So now when you're setting it up, they can set up, they'll just have them set up two accounts for Mahmoud, one for the regular loan and one for their arrearages. When you sell that note, you're going to service transfer that loan to your buyer, not the arrearage account, just the note account.
And in your case, Mahmoud, when you sell it, you're just not going to even mention the arrearage account. You're just going to sell them the other principal and interest payments, and you won't mention the arrearage account.
Well,
as far as the trustee is concerned, then the trustee mails the payment to Peak or Allied or, you know, National Asset Advisors, whoever's servicing it. And the trustee's not doing, like, the math cut to figure out the difference. Your servicer's really doing that.
Okay, here's a background to the deal, Eddie. When we acquire the loan, we will have it serviced by Allied. Now, I have a financial friend who's actually agreed to buy the loan, the note, and be happy with the P&I payments.
I think you're good.
Yeah. Just have Sheila and them at Allied set up two separate accounts, Mahmoud.
Okay.
And make sure that when they notify the trustee, when your friend buys that note, just make sure when the trustee is notified, they're notified that they're splitting the one payment will go to the arrearage account to you, and the new payment will go to this borrower's servicer. Or this buyer.
Does the trustee need to know that?
Yeah, because if not, they're going to send one payment. You still have to notify the trustee of change of ownership.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mahmoud, here's the deal. Okay. You are being very smart and very strategic, okay? Somebody in this deal has got to know your card game, okay? If they don't, it's not going to go down the way you're doing. The guy that's buying the principal and interest payments is perfectly satisfied with that investment. You're not hoodwinking the guy. That's just what he's agreed to, okay?
Yes.
But your guy that's sitting back there knowing exactly how the checkers have got to move is allied.
Right.
And that trustee don't care who those payments go to, Mahmood. He's just delivering the payments. It's not his money. It's the borrower's money. So that trustee really don't care how it's split up.
Right.
Right.
As long as they're paying for the plan.
The reason we ask you those sequence of questions, Mahmood, is sometimes like people are making their regular principal interest payment and the trustee is making the arrearage payment. Sometimes the trustee has like the arrearage payment under one account number and the regular payment under another account number. So the reason we were going through asking you all that stuff is trying to get a framework of kind of how this is done. Because as you're gathering, it's not like it's always done one way. Right. Now, Mahmood, I got a question for you because Teresa on the call has a question for you. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
Yes.
What is an arrearage account?
It's an account that which comprises the payments that the borrower has missed since he defaulted up to the point
It could be legal fees. It could be back taxes that they paid. It could be insurance premiums. It's the money that the borrower didn't pay while they were in default, right?
Yes.
Including encumbrances that the lender may have or monies that the lender may have incurred expenses on. So the arrearage money is typically divided over 60 months at no interest, and a Chapter 13 bankruptcy, reorganization bankruptcy for an individual, almost always is going to have that arrearage account. And most people do not know to fight for that money.
Okay.
But Mahmood does.
How but to do everybody we, there, go ahead, Mahmood.
Yes. How do we write up the agreement or word the agreement between myself and the buyer of the note?
Well, if you do anything, I just think you're just clear as to what you're selling. And you're selling the principal owed and its principal and interest payments, not including any arrearage. And I, right, Charles? I mean, there's no fancy way to do it. That's just
there's no fancy way to do it. It's almost just like you're the same type of agreement, Mahmood, you do with a normal note. If you were just buying a note from Colonial, because your arrearage account is separate, it's not added back to that UPB. Okay, it's not added into your UPB. The servicer's going to split it up. They're going to split the current UPB and that arrearage account. So there's really no special agreement, you know. And again, you know, unless they ask for that arrearage account, there's no reason to give them their arrearage account. But one thing, make sure that you verify the bankruptcy. You make sure you get a copy of the plan and confirm what their arrearage account is and what the bankruptcy plan is. And a lot of times people will sell notes and there may be a $30,000 UPB, but the bankruptcy, in some cases, bankruptcy judge may say that property is only worth $15,000. So your new plan is $15,000.
Yeah, but I don't want to scare the crap out of people. That's a cram down, and that is a very rare occurrence in real estate loans.
No, I'm not trying to scare people, but I just want everybody to read their plans. because it can't happen.
If you're buying a mobile home only loan, that's called a cram down, and that's a common occurrence. That is not a common occurrence with a real estate secured loan. Fact is, it almost never happens. But he's right. There is a possibility of a cram down. By the way, there ain't no possibility they can erase the arrearage account.
No.
So, Sherry asked a question, Mahmood. If you don't know to ask for the arrearage account, who winds up with it?
The then note holder, the seller.
You got it. Hello. I've had students pay for their training over and over and over and over, knowing to ask for the arrearage account money that nobody else would know to ask for. Because it's a big deal. All right, I think you're straight though on the mechanics, and really, Mahmood, it's once again if the trustee had two different accounts, if the trustee was making the arrearage account and the regular borrower was making the principal and interest payments, all these things would have slightly changed our answer. But based on what you're just describing to us, you're just going to work it out with Allied.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much.
You bet. All right, Mr. Matt.
All right. Let me get the mood here and then get back up to the Kevin. Kevin, you have yourself muted if you don't mind unmuting yourself, and you'll be good to go.
Kevin, you with us, buddy?
Yeah, he just shows he's got his mic muted there, so...
Yeah, if you can unmute your mic there, bud, you should be good.
All right, I think I'm all set there.
What's up, brother?
Hey, it's my first time using the app. That's kind of cool. I'm on my cell phone in the webinar. Anyway.
Good for you, all right.
Well, I have this... Yeah, it's pretty cool. I used to call in, but now I realize I can actually watch the app on my phone. So these are two notes that I connected with a guy through BiggerPockets, and he's looking to sell them. He was asking way too much for the whole notes, but I said I'd be interested in talking to you about a partial. And so he sent me over what he was looking for. And basically, the only way I'd be interested in doing buying anything from him is if Colonial would be interested in purchasing that note, basically broker it to Colonial. And I don't know if that makes any sense with a partial deal, but I just figured it'd make a lot of sense to put this on the call and talk about it. So that's the screen you guys have up is the information, kind of the summary. And I believe I sent you guys all the supporting documentation along with that as well. So I was kind of curious if that would be a note you guys would be interested or what the value you would put on that, or if we could just kind of beat this up a little bit.
All right, so first things first, what's the odds this loan's going to pay as agreed?
Well, I guess I don't know how to answer that. How do we determine the odds? Obviously, we know all the factors.
Go back, core principles. What's the six characteristics that influence the value of a note?
Well, we got the borrower's credit score, down payment, pay history, this is the three that I remember off the top of my head. What else?
Terms
of the note. Yeah.
And the paperwork.
Okay.
All right, so let me ask you a question. When did this guy originate these loans?
Oh, so these are modifications, because I know you're going to ask that. So they should be Dodd-Frank compliant, because I believe they were both originated in, like, I think one of them was, like, 2012. They were both before the critical date, and I don't think that he originates his own loan, so it should be Dodd-Frank compliant from what I understand.
You mean he doesn't do this enough to be a dealer?
Right. Okay. And these two in particular...
But again, if the law hadn't come into effect, it wouldn't matter, right?
What's that?
Well, we got a lot. I got too many doors open here. It's prior to the Dodd-Frank trigger date on an origination of owner financing.
Right, right.
Okay, got it. All right, so the loans have been paying for a long time, so that tells us the buyer's showing a propensity to pay. Who services these loans?
I haven't asked that. I'm not sure.
All right, so that's a big deal. How do you know they're paying?
I haven't verified.
It says Allied.
It says Allied. Oh, there it is.
Huh? Didn't it say Allied?
Yeah, you're right. I didn't notice that before.
Okay. Okay. Well, then you get into the underlying collateral and what it's worth, kind of demographics. So it's saying as his value is 50 grand?
Yep.
Okay. So is he willing to sell a partial?
That's what he said. Yeah, I asked him. I said, hey, the only way I'd be interested in these is to do a partial because his asking price was basically underwater. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but he was asking more than the value of the property. So that didn't make any sense to me. So I said, if you'd be willing to sell a partial, we can talk. And then he sent over his terms that he'd sell a partial on. And it was yielding, I believe, off the top of my head, around 15%. And so I thought that was a lot more fair than his original offer.
Well, the question is what we're willing to pay.
I think I sent you guys the charts. I think I sent you guys the partial chart that I put together as well.
I know, but here's the thing. Kevin, let me cut to the chase here, okay?
Yeah.
We may be willing to buy it at a 15% yield, but are you going to make any money?
That's why I'm putting it on the call. I don't know.
I'm saying to you that, you know, if you're asking us, because we either got to buy it and hold it long term, or we got to go sell it in the secondary market, okay?
Right.
And it on the surface it seems like a good deal, but I'm saying to you, if you're going to buy a low price band note at a 15 yield, it looks like to me you ain't making a lot of money.
Well, I guess what my mentality right now is, if this seems like a deal that would make sense to Colonial, then that's his offer. I would go and negotiate, and whatever I could negotiate down would be my take, is kind of the way I would think about it.
I'm telling you, it ain't gonna be enough money to spit on.
Okay.
I mean, $2,000 goes from a 15.8% yield to an 11.8% yield.
If I could talk him down to like 16.5 purchase price on this, and then I were to make $1,000 myself, and would you guys be interested in that at the 17.5 and the 15.8 yield?
Yeah. I mean, I think we would come off the 15 yield a little bit. I'm not saying that we wouldn't. I'm just saying, you know, we got an inventory right now of these kind of assets in front of us that is a big number. I mean, like, we can literally go put our hands on 50 million right now. So we're not highly motivated to go just, like, do something that's, like, really razor-thin profit.
Sure.
So, you know, if we were at more like an 18 funding price for us, and I know students are going, well, I don't pay you an 18 funding price. I know, but you don't pay my overhead.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, we spend a couple million and a half dollars a year doing something. And part of that's creating opportunity. So I'm just saying that, you know, 17.5 price is it's to me it's too thin for you to go trade.
Okay.
On the surface, they look like decent deals.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought was worth the worth it to put it on there. But I can see where you're coming from. I definitely understand kind of the opportunity cost and too thin of margins for that kind of asset.
Right.
But I want to keep in touch with this guy. He might be a good source in the future.
Yeah. Where does this guy live?
That's a good question. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Does he live in the Northeast?
I think he might. I'm not sure.
I know who he is.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure I know who he is. And we've seen assets from him before, but you know, once again, it's kind of funny. It's just kind of like, why didn't he sell? I don't know. He just timing wasn't right then, right? Said he gets on bigger pockets, and you know, it's fine. That's what you're out there doing. It's just how doing business works.
Right.
Just make sure you're making a profit.
Yep. Sounds fair to me.
But yeah, I mean it's a reasonable deal, but I once again for us, you know, we're not gonna get too revved up about doing it and you know, paying much more than about 18, I don't think. And that means 18 net. We ain't paying closing cost. And you don't need to pay closing cost.
Right.
We gotta get a title search, we gotta get a BPO, whatever it is, that's what it is. He goes, well, I don't need a BPO. Well, we do, and that's what it's going to be. So,
all righty.
But I would say that anyway. I would say it's on the surface, it looks like a decent deal as long as it's paying and the title works and the BPO works. And once again, paying includes taxes and insurance.
Right.
You don't buy these deals and all of a sudden, well, I'm not really paying taxes and the lender every year has to cut a check. Nah, that won't work. So really, we would rather buy it if it were escrowed. If it's not escrowed, we just need to see evidence the guy's really doing what he's supposed to do.
A lot less of a chance.
Just don't need a labor factor. Don't need a file end up on our credenza.
Okay.
Got it?
Yep.
Okay. Lisa is asking, why are you asking Kevin that question? I know the answer to your question, Lisa. If it's the same guy, I know that he's from Silicon Valley, California. I don't understand Dave's question about somebody else. Oh, I think he's just suggesting a person that owns that note. I don't think that's who it is, by the way. Let's see. If I bought the partial, could I sell the partial that I bought? And the answer is yes. If you find somebody to do it, I have bought thousands and thousands of partials and sold my partial interest in the note. Absolutely. Yep, done it a lot. What else, Matt?
But can you sell a partial of the partial?
Sure. I could buy 120 months and sell 96. Mm-hmm. Right. I can buy anything up to the amount that I bought. Lisa, your guy that you're asking about is a pretty legit guy, by the way, just so you know. If it's the accountant guy that I know from San Jose, that's his name, he's a very legit dude.
Okay.
All right. What else, Mr. Matt?
We have covered it all, and actually looks like we made it just at the hour mark for once.
All right. Great stuff tonight, by the way. And by the way, just so you guys know, Fernecki and I know each other pretty well, and he's always saying, man, when you see me, you know, kind of skimming over something I shouldn't be, then stay on it. So I do that with him with a license. So those of you that aren't as seasoned with me, we are, you know, like a lot of the guys that were on the call tonight are like really seasoned with us, and we're like trying to do a significant drill down to get them to, you know, like seize the opportunity. So I thought it was a good session. What else? Mr. Matt, that it?
That's what we have content-wise for the night.
All right. Stay warm, fellas.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.